Good evening, everyone. So good to see everyone back out this evening. I hope everyone is looking forward to a good week. Please, again, pray for me Tuesday, and hopefully things will go well. I want to go ahead and jump into the sermon this evening. I've got quite a few slides to go through. The title is, How Long Should I Stay at a Church That Is Moving Away from the Bible? There are more churches, more congregations moving away from God's Word, it seems lately. It seems like we go through periods of this. There are times in church history when issues arise. There's discussion. People choose their side. Things settle down. And then, like we were talking about this morning with the sheep that wanders off, gradually, little bit by little bit, people get away from God's Word. So how long should I stay at a church that is leaving the Bible? There are three passages we are going to look at. We're going to look at these, but we are going to have a lot of other information packed around these. But write down these three passages because it's important that we understand them. So why do we need to talk about this? There are many congregations where there are less scriptures in the sermons. Even the little bit that I get to visit or listen to, sometimes I'll hear a person talk for 10 minutes before they even mention a passage. And then there's not too many passages in the lesson and then not too much explanation of those. There's more emotionalism in sermons. There's a high priority based on feelings over God's Word. There's less individual Bible study. They rely on somebody else. This is not good for the church. More Christians do not know what God's Word says on a subject. You bring up something and probably the first answer is, well, I don't know, or I'm not sure, or what do you think about? Some Christians don't even know what the issues are. Some churches try to redraw the circle of fellowship. They want to increase their numbers, so they redraw the circle of fellowship. Some do not practice discipline. They let anybody come in. They let them come in and stay. People that have not repented, when people are there that need to be disciplined, they do not practice that. And again, that gets people moving away from God's Word. Some elevate the word of man over the word of God. They'll say, I see what that says, but brother so-and-so says this. And they place what he says over God's word. Some welcome the world and air to come on in. And we see more and more churches promoting this. Just come on in. Well, we want everybody to come, but we want them to come and change their life. We don't want to bring the world into the church. And with all of these and other reasons, the church is being watered down. So why do we need to talk about this? We need to talk about this because the church is to be pure and holy. We do not want to lose our identity. There are some churches of Christ you can look at, and unless you saw that name tacked on the end, Church of Christ, you would think you were looking at a denomination with some of the things that they are doing. We need to talk about this because we don't want to be lost. We need to talk about this because I do not want my children, my grandchildren to be lost. We've been quiet on this too long, and people haven't said things, and we have a generation growing up that does not have the proper interest in God's Word, does not have the proper understanding of God's Word, and some of them don't even think it matters. So when we talk about the Lord's church, we basically have two different types of churches of Christ. We have what we might call the book, chapter, verse Church of Christ. We go to God's scriptures. We look back to the first century, to what God's Word says. Again, this was written in a language that does not change. It's a dead language. what it meant then, it means today. Now we have another group of churches, the emotional church of Christ, and that looks forward. They're progressive, inclusive. They want to include everybody into their group. They're diverse. They're on the cutting edge. They extend fellowship. And these are like buzzwords, keywords you'll see in business. And again, that's the world coming into the church. Someone saying, we've got to be progressive. We've got to just be inclusive. We've got to be a cutting edge church of Christ. And a little hint to help you know if a church is moving away from God's word, is it using terminology that you can read in God's word, or is it using man's terminology? Now, sometimes man's words help us to understand something, but we should just be speaking as the Bible speaks and silent as the Bible is silent, calling Bible things by Bible names instead of these man-made terms. So which one of these churches honors the Father and His Word? Back in Malachi, we read where he said, if I am the Father, then where is my honor? When our Father tells us to do something, we honor Him by obeying His Word. How far is too far? And why did Paul warn about so many false teachers in the church? You think about this. If we can have so many different beliefs, why did Paul warn the elders at Ephesus? Why did Paul write to Timothy about departures that were going to come? Why did he warn all the churches over and over about these departures from the faith? He knew that the church was going to move away from God's word. And with this too, when we talk with people, one of the problems we run into, again, is we are using different language in describing God's church and what He wants us to do. We go back to the Old Testament in Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 13 and verse 23. In those days, I also saw Jews who had married women of Ashdod, Ammon, and Moab. And remember, the Israelites were to utterly destroy those nations in the land of Canaan. God wanted them to utterly destroy them. He told them not to marry the women of those nations. And we see when they disobeyed God what happened. They were led into idolatry, but there were other problems also. Verse 24, and half of their women, half of their children spoke the language of Ashdod, and could not speak the language of Judah, but spoke according to the language of one or the other people. So I contended with them and cursed them, struck some of them and pulled out their hair, made them swear by God, saying, you shall not give your daughters as wives to their sons, nor take their daughters for your sons or yourselves. This language of Ashdod, to put that in terminology today, we would say, some churches talk in the language of denominations. They use denominational terms and phrases, and you go to the Bible, and they can't understand what you're saying to them because they have lost the language of God's Word. And two simple illustrations here. We talk about the church. We go back to the original meaning. Again, the meaning has not changed. Ecclesia. This is Strong's number and Thayer's definition, one of the most well-recognized scholars on the Greek language. Properly, a gathering of citizens called out from their homes into some public place, an assembly. An assembly. That's what we did this morning. That's what we are doing this evening. We've been called out of our home into some public place. That's an assembly. That is the church. But we have people today that say, no, you can watch it on your computer. You can watch it on your phone. You can worship on your phone. We can't read about that in God's Word. If we could read about that in God's Word, we could do it. But if we can't, we need to honor and respect the words that the Holy Spirit chose for men to use for us to understand today. Another little example, I shouldn't say little, it's little, but it causes big problems. Let's just look at one aspect of the eldership. 1 Timothy 3:2, a bishop then must be, says, blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach. There's so many disagreements on the qualifications of an elder. And people will say, you got to go back, you got to understand the Greek, you got to do this, you got to do that. And I would agree with that to a point. And I heard someone say one time, the problem isn't that we don't understand the Greek. A bigger problem is we don't understand our own English. And when we look at this, a bishop then must be. These two words here, must be, modifies the rest of these qualifications. Must. That's the same word that Jesus uses with Nicodemus when he says, you must be born again. And be. We understand what be is. That's a verb. We learned this in elementary school. And a verb can either be past tense, present tense, or future tense. And what is be? It's present tense. So a bishop, an elder, he must be present tense the husband of one wife. Now you can argue with that till Christ comes back, but you're arguing with God. You're arguing with the Holy Spirit. It's pretty plain and simple. Do we accept what God says, or do we try to change it to what man thinks and feels? So why is this important, and how long should I stay at a church that is moving away from the Bible? We have seen so many things develop from churches that have moved away from the Bible. And I'm talking about churches of Christ that have moved away. Benevolent societies, orphans' homes, widow homes, unwed mother homes, welfare agencies, hospitals, ladies' sewing circles. I see sometimes on social media all of these little names for these groups of people. I'm not going to argue if they're right or wrong, but why not just call things by Bible names? Just let's go back to the Bible. We're talking about moving away from the Bible. What's wrong with going back to the Bible? Edifying society, schools, colleges, preacher training schools, workshops of all kinds, official publishing houses, the material you use, is that from the official Church of Christ publishing company? Have you ever heard of such a thing? And then you have different people in the brotherhood, and again, you have to look at each case individually, but some start publishing companies, and what is the purpose of a publishing company? And if I step on somebody's toes, feel free to ask me about it, but a purpose of a company is to make money. And that's what they are in business for. And I really appreciate, that's why I really appreciate some of the brothers in the brotherhood that put out material and offer it free for the church to use and to share. They aren't in business. Some aren't in business to make money. They're in business to share the gospel. And I'm not judging a person's motives, but I say when you put money on the table, that changes a person's thinking. And I have worked for companies before where they would not let any manager, any salesperson accept any gift, anything from someone that we did business with, because once you put money on the table, that changes the way someone thinks. And not to go off too far on this, but then you have some material that comes out that doesn't go far enough on what God says. They stop short because they want to sell more material. These colleges and schools, and again, I have nothing against colleges and schools. It is not a sin to go to a school, a university, by some man, but I would ask the question, why do you want to go there? And there are some schools and universities that are recognized as liberal-minded schools. And they are, men are going there, and they are accepting these ideas, these teachings, and it is coming into the Church of Christ. The days of creation were the 24-hour days. Well, you have people today, preachers today in the church that say they weren't 24-hour days. Different things about the divinity of Christ. One of the biggest things is about the authority of the Bible. A lot of these men are being taught that you can establish authority by other ways than what the Bible teaches, by the examples that we have. And a problem with that, then, you can have a sound congregation and they bring in speakers from these congregations that these universities, these schools that are not sound. And are they going to bring sound doctrine, or are they going to bring something other than God's word? That's why we've got to ask. There are people that are asking, is the church that I am in right? And in this community, people ask that. In the denominations, people understand if they are going to be a Bible church, they need to follow the Bible. Some of the people in the Lord's church need to learn that lesson. And some of them, they question things, yet they stay in a congregation. So how long should I stay in a church that's moving away from the Bible? Some brethren stay on with an unscriptural congregation when they know very well that there is no hope. They ease their conscience with the idea that no congregation is perfect. They'll say, well, you know, Bruce, every congregation has problems. You know, this one, look at this one and look at that one. Every congregation has problems. These people do an injustice to themselves and to the congregation by staying in a situation like that. The church is to be pure. It's to be holy. It's to preach the truth. To those that say there is no absolute truth, this is a question you got to ask them, and it'll drive them crazy. Are you absolutely sure there's no absolute truth? And see, they've painted themselves into the corner. They'll say, you can't say truth is absolute. It's subject to interpretation. Well, are you absolutely sure? You know, if you're wrong, your whole premise of your faith is out the window. How long should I stay? Why do we need to talk about this? As this slide shows, our Savior went to the cross. He was lifted up. We talked this morning about David being lifted up. Our Savior was lifted up on the cross. He died. He shed his blood to purchase his church. The church is the blood-bought, heaven-sent, spirit-filled institution of God. It's holy. And we think that we can change it and teach whatever we want. If we do, there are consequences associated with that. Jesus gave us a written will to follow, not to change it. And Jesus has all authority. And we're going to be judged by the written word, not by what we think. Let's look at one of our scriptures. Galatians 1:6. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches another gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be bondservants of Christ. Who are we trying to please? 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Awake to righteousness and do not sin. For some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. This shows the direction of sin. Evil company corrupts good habits. That's like flashing lights there. Evil company corrupts good habits. You hear people talk about going into bars or different places, and I'm going there to save people. Why would you go into a place like that? And who is going to have the stronger influence? You go in as you're outnumbered right from the start. You're going to go in, you're going to be exposed to all kinds of things you see and hear that you can't get out of your mind. Evil company corrupts good habits. But a lot of people do not believe that, and they let the world come into the church. And oftentimes the church does not make them stronger, they make the church weaker. Now think about this, the direction of sin, the direction of sin. I cannot head in one direction and expect to arrive at a different destination. How long should I stay at a church that is moving away from the Bible? Now if I go out of the driveway out here, I have a choice. I can either turn left or I can turn right. If I want to go home, I'm going to turn left. Now if I turn right, does anybody here think that if I turn right and I keep going long enough that I'm going to reach home? If I said I'm going to do that, you'd look at me and say I'm crazy. You'd say you're crazier than you thought I was. But what do people do in the church? They're in a church that's moving away from the Bible, but they keep going along with that church that takes them farther and farther away in the wrong direction. Why would we want to do that? Do we really think that we can head in the wrong direction and reach the right destination? If the church that we are in is moving away from the Bible, we're moving away from the Bible, is that going to move us to heaven? No. Psalm 1, 1 and 2. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Here we see an example of the progression of sin. Someone is walking in the counsel of the ungodly. The next thing they do, they stop walking, and then they stand. They're standing there in the path of sinners. Then the next thing they do is they sit. They sit in the seat of the scornful. So it goes from walking, passing by, to stopping and standing. Now you're sitting down in the middle of it. The sin has progressed. You're in the middle of it, and it's going to consume you. But the blessed man does not do this. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. But we see this progression of sin. Sin starts off small, and it's going to grow and get bigger and bigger. It doesn't go from big to small. It goes from small to big. We understand that, right? I hope so. Now, here we have a baby lion. A cute little baby lion. Isn't that cute? That cute little baby lion is cute. But what's it going to do? It's going to grow into this lion that will devour us. And we see someone involved in sin and, oh, that's cute. Look at what they did. Look at what they said. And we laugh it off. Friend, that sin, that progression of sin is going to grow and devour us. Do we want to stay in a place like that? How long should I stay? Why do we need to talk about this? You look at the churches of Asia, Revelation 2:5, 2:16, 2:21, 2:22, 3:3, 3:19. What are they told? Repent. They need to repent or their candlestick's going to be removed. Remember when Jesus said, "He that hath an ear, let him hear." That word "hear" doesn't mean just listen. That word "hear" means obey. Do what I say. Put this away. How long should I stay? Why do we need to talk about this? Because of fellowship. 1 John 1:5. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ the Son cleanses us from all sin. So do we have fellowship with the denominations in town? We cannot have fellowship because they are walking outside of this circle. They are walking outside of that. We understand that. Now, can we have fellowship with the congregation that is walking outside of that? And some people will say, sure, it's got the name Church of Christ over the door. But see, the individuals in both places have to be walking within the fellowship, as we can read about in God's Word. If we can't have fellowship with a church across the street because they have a piano and a kitchen and this and that and all the social things, we can't say that we can have fellowship with the Church of Christ that is involved in all kinds of worldly social things and tacking on Church of Christ over their door. Again, it goes back to authority. All authority has been given to me on heaven and on earth. We do not get to play spin the wheel and come up with our own authority. And you cannot redraw the circle of fellowship unless you first deny the verbal plenary inspiration of the Bible. God tells us how to worship. He tells us how to work. He tells us how to become a member of the church. The inspired word of God. If we get rid of that, then anything goes and nobody can be wrong. You can't have it both ways. You just can't have it both ways. So here's two ways we can draw fellowship. We conscribe this circle that matches God's word. And this other example is what man does. I like it here, but I'm going to change this. I'm going to make the circle come in here and go out there. And what happens? They're moving away. They're moving away from the Bible. So how long should I attend? Well, if you're in a congregation where there are problems, I would suggest attend a congregation as long as progress is being made to the truth. Now, before that, I would have to ask, if you knew there were problems, why would you go there in the first place? If it's a questionable congregation, why would you go there in the first place? But you get here, you get to a congregation, and you see problems. If the group is working toward resolving that and getting back to the Bible, then you should help work to get them back to the Bible. But too often, nothing is done. There's silence, and silence does not bring progress. Silence does not bring progress. And somebody will say, I'm not sure about this church, but I'm a member there. You talk to them a year later, I'm not sure, but I'm a member there. You talk to them, and before you know, they die in this church that they are not a member of because they haven't done anything to question practices that are going on. Acts 13:51, Luke says, but they shook the dust off their feet against them and came to Iconium. Paul's preaching had been rejected at Antioch, and Luke says they shook the dust off their feet. This shows that there is a limit to which a Christian must go. If you're just spinning your wheels and you're just a voice in the wilderness, you might as well throw in the towel. You ought to work. You ought to work to get people to see the truth if you care about them. And this is one of the reasons I'm presenting this lesson. We aren't talking about this enough. People are involved in groups across the country that are moving away from the Bible. And we've got to get them back to the Bible. When elders and members have closed their ears and minds, you might as well shake the dust off your feet. There's no doubt that some congregations have gone beyond the point of no return. We've also looked at sometimes with the Lord's church, It just becomes a fundraising organization. We'll take up money for this society, for this group, for this school, for this home, for that home. And if we can raise money and send it here for this and that, then why don't we just give money to everything and then we can just sit at home and not do anything? See, God has the local church to do the local work. But what if we're doing these things as individuals and not the church? And people will use this excuse a lot of times. Well, that goes back, that this is an old excuse, and it goes back a couple generations ago. And the things I'm talking about, I have seen my family come out of these things when a congregation was moving away from the Bible. Now I am seeing family and friends go back into the same situation of moving away from the Bible. So we got to understand this. What if we're doing things as individuals and not the church? So a brother made this point. Okay, instead of taking money out of the treasury, let's just do it as an individual. We want to support this. We want to support XYZ, ABC. There's questions about it. We'll just do it as individuals. Well, Jim has something he wants to support. So let's put a box back there for Jim. If you want to support it, put money in the box. Well, I've got something I want to support. So I'm going to put a box back there by Jim. And then David and Gary and Code, they have things too that they want to support. And then everybody has something they want to support. We won't do it as the church. We'll do it as an individual. Then what do? We have this wall covered with boxes back there. Friends, if the church doesn't have authority to do a thing, don't involve the church with it. Follow the pattern. And I'll go a step further. If the church doesn't have authority to do a thing and you're doing it as individuals, don't put it on social media under the name of your congregation to confuse everybody out in the world to think that it's a work of the church. The work of the individual and the work of the church are two separate things. You either agree or you don't. If you don't agree, please show me, because I don't want to be wrong on this. I know people, we've been talking, Carol and I mentioned to David again this morning, people that have died just in the last year. There's a lot of people that are dying. There's going to be a lot more people dying in the next coming years. Are they right with God? These are people we love. Are they in a church that is Bible-focused? Are they in a church that is moving away from God's Word? The only way not to be swept away by false teaching is to know the Scriptures for yourself. You know, I can study 12 hours a day, but it's not going to do you any good. And you can study 12 hours a day, and it's not going to do me any good. We've got to open our Bibles, get our heads in our Bibles, and then do what God says. So a couple questions to close. How long should I stay at a church that is moving away from the Bible? How long do you want to risk your soul? I think you need to come to grips with that. If there's something questionable there, how long do you want to risk your soul? What progress is being made to get back to the Bible? If you're making progress to get back to the Bible, be part of the solution, not part of the problem. Are you willing to do what is right? You have to ask yourself that. On this subject or anything else, these are good questions to ask when you're having a Bible study with somebody. To lay the groundwork, are you willing to do what is right? Are you willing to do what is right now? If you're trying to teach someone about baptism, are you willing to do what is right now? And the third question, are you willing to let the Bible determine what is right? That's a hard one, because a lot of people will say, well, that's what you believe, but I believe this, I feel this way. And see, what they've done is They've moved away from the Bible. They've moved away from the Bible. Friends, how long should I stay at a church that is moving away? Again, I would say, how long do you want to risk your soul? Friends, we've got work to do teaching the lost what they need to do to be saved. We've got work to do with our friends, relatives, people we know that are in churches that are moving away from the Bible to get them to move back. Friends, if there's anyone here this evening that needs to respond to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.